And joining us right now, the great, great, great Eagles Mike linebacker, who used to blow up the A-gap. He was the man. There was no one better I love watching in the middle than the Axeman, Jeremiah Trotter. Good morning, Trot.
What's cracking, cuz?
My main man.
How you feeling, baby?
Oh, I'm feeling good, man. You always make me smile. And I think back to watching you. I was just thinking about this the other day. I was watching old Jim Johnson defenses, and I was talking to our man, Coach Spags, and we were talking about you. And, man, what a luxury to have you go blow up that middle of that line. Woof.
Yeah, it was fun days, man. Yeah, I had a good time, man, bringing back a lot of memories.
What do you think of this defense right now?
I think if you look at, like, two or three of the losses, they played well for, like, three quarters or three and a half quarters, and then they just can't close the deal. Have to find a way, somebody to step up in those crucial moments to make a play. You look at the Tennessee game, I mean, they needed one play.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, and that could have been the difference of the game. What other game was it where they came?
Tennessee at 4th and 15, right?
Yeah.
You had two plays, 4th and 10 and Carolina, and 4th and 15, Tennessee.
I mean, there's no way. I mean, I love what Jim Schwartz is doing, but he had to put pressure on the quarterback. What happens is you get so accustomed to being able to get to the quarterback with the front four, you think they can always do it. But, I mean, you get 4th and 15, I'm bringing the heat.
Yeah.
I'm bringing the heat. I'm making you get rid of the ball quick. And just you know, you got to trust those DBs just to make a tackle and get off the football field.
Yeah, you know? I'm with you.
They went through a stretch. What was the last game? Not the game, not last week, the week before. What game was that?
We had Jacksonville and London.
It wasn't Jacksonville. They needed a play down the stretch.
Carolina was the game before Jacksonville.
Carolina. They needed a play down the stretch, and nobody stepped up to make a play. And they weren't able to get pressure on Cam. And if your front four can't get pressure, at some point you got to bring an extra blitzer. And you got to make Cam, figure out where the blitz is coming from, make the correct throw, and then just get off the field, you know? I think it comes down to that. Some of the penalties they've been getting, that's across the league. I think they're bogus. I think, it's really tough on defense these days. But, I'm not going to make excuses for them. But down the stretch, you have to have somebody that can step up and make a play. Somebody.
Yeah, the killer about the Carolina game was it's 17-0, fourth quarter. It's a windy day. Cam's struggling the whole day. You had done a great job stopping him through three quarters. And then you play your corners off, and he starts to get hot.
Yeah, you got to stay aggressive, man. You can't go into the – now I know for three quarters, it looked like Carolina couldn't generate any offense. And our offense was doing just enough to, put points on the board to get us up 17-0. And all of a sudden, those guys started to kind of figure it out. So once they start to figure it out, now you got to make adjustments. So, okay, the front four is not getting there. Let me bring some pressure, or let me show them something that I haven't shown the whole game. That's what makes Bill Belichick so good.
Yeah.
They come out in the second half, and they change up. You won't see nothing that they ran in the first half. It's almost like they got two different game plans. So, Schwartz and those guys got to do something different because you got to be in-game adjustment coach, man. And this game is all about adjustments. And you just can't expect, just because you got Fletcher and all those really good pass rushers on the team, that they're going to continue to get to the quarterback for four quarters. Especially with a quarterback like Cam.
Yeah.
That got the threat of running the football.
Sure. Talking to the great Jeremiah Trotter, Axeman, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Trot, let's go back. When did you get indoctrinated? When did you feel Eagles Cowboys in this rivalry?
Man, it was my rookie year, and I wasn't playing a lot my rookie year. But this particular week, we was going back to Texas, and Ray Rose came up to me. He said, "Listen, going to Texas, your hometown, my hometown. We're gonna try to insert you in the game plan a little bit." And, man, I was playing on special teams. I wasn't playing much on defense.
Yeah.
And, man, I was excited. Dad, he actually put in a defense where Ike and I went on the football field.
Wow.
And, we were excited, man. And, I had a play where I blitzed off the edge, actually where I stunted inside. And I stunted inside. They ran toss away from me, and I ran it down from the backside, man, for a tackle for a loss on Emmitt Smith. And, that was one of the early highlights of my career, man, just going back to Texas. And just during that course of the week, you could feel there was more tension in the locker room. That was my first playoff atmosphere-type football. Because the atmosphere changed. Even though we didn't make the playoff that year, it was an atmosphere type situation, within the locker room, within the team, the city. I could tell that the fans were more hyped up. When you're out in the streets, and you learn pretty quickly as a rookie when you come into the locker room how much we hate the Cowboys, you catch on pretty quick, man, just from the older guys, guys at the end a little earlier. They're watching a little extra film and practice a little more tense, a little more popping of the pads in practice. So, man, it's special. They're all special, but I don't know what it is about Dallas. There's something about Dallas, man, that just makes it in this area, in this city, that brings out the best in us.
It's the truth. There is something about it. And I think... What was it, 2001, the pickle juice?
Yeah, man.
And it was the most, because what it did? It signified that game. It was hot opening day, deuce runs, defense. You guys were just mauling, and you guys were big underdogs, and you almost signified, all right, this is the new Eagles football. The Eagles have arrived.
We came out, man. We came out. I think, didn't we open the game with an
onside kick? Yeah.
Onside kick. That, to me, that was a better game because we open the game with an onside kick. The offense, Deuce is running wild. We go down the field and score. And the defense comes out, goes 3-and-out. That was very significant also because you put their defense right back on the football field. And I don't know who built that stadium. I know they talk about the hole so God can see their team or whatever. Well, if that's the case, they should have put their team on the other side in the shade. Because the whole time we were sitting in the shade and their team was in the sun. I don't get that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, man, that was one of the hottest games. But fortunately for us, we were able to go in, get two or three 3-and-outs, and our offense was clicking that day, and their defense never had a chance to catch that win.
And remember how much Andy loved to throw it, and I mean to run for over Trav Deuce run for over 200.
We was gutting them. I remember during the course of the week, I didn't play special teams at the time. I was just on defense, and I remember Mike Caldwell was joking with me, "Hey, try that win. He played special teams. Why you can't play special teams?"
That win.
I said, "Yeah. First of all, I'm 260. That like 210." And I said, second of all, he ain't gonna make it to the fourth quarter. Man, we went down and played some guys. He was locked up getting IVs by halftime. I told Mike, I said, "You see what I'm saying?
See?
It's hard to come out and play defense and special teams. Come on, bro."
Oh, that's awesome. Did you happen to see? I don't know if you saw at all the Duke game last night. There's a kid.
My goodness.
Right, okay. So wait.
Bro.
Trot, he's 286. He's 285. And he's got a 45-inch vertical.
Bro, I was talking to my brother-in-law. People don't understand. To have a 45-inch vertical at 285 is, I know about weight. And to be able to, I seen the kid jump from the free throw line. I'm not talking about one step in front, toe on the line. He was behind the line.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to be able to move 285, LeBron had like a 44 inch vert, maybe a 45. But when LeBron came out, he probably was about 245.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, at one point during his career, he put on some more weight. He was up to like 260. But this kid is 285, and one of the announcers said last night, he may have to start wearing a mouth guard because he's going to hit his mouth on the rim.
Oh, my Lord. That's the truth. Yeah. What was your vert?
Oh, man. I was like 34, like 35.
Yeah,
like,
but you just hot, though. No, but seriously, you were a great athlete. People don't realize, like, when you're that big, what made you such a freak at middle linebacker was your quickness. Like, you know, you were strong as anything because you went 250, maybe a little more, and you had speed and you had quickness, and that's why you were able to blow up that middle, man.
You know what, man? My shoulder drill, 5-10-5 drill, was like a 3-9-9, and that's like DB time. So I was able to get, you know, from point A to point D just as fast as a DB, you know. And when you play middle linebacker, people don't understand. People get so enamored by the fourth time. And for a guy that was 260 running a 4.6, a low 4.6, that was pretty good. You don't see any guy 260 coming out now, you know. But to run that L drill in 3.99, because that's all linebacker is. You're able to get 5 yards this way, 5 yards that way, because you're hardly ever at top speed at linebacker. Right?
No.
Because you got to go through your reads. The field is 53 yards wide. So you basically talking about 25 yards each way. And once you take your read steps and you're taking proper angles and you're breaking down, you're never at top speed. If you're a linebacker, you're at top speed, you're chasing. And most likely the guy's going anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So exactly.
Even at defensive back, even if a guy run a go route, you're only at top speed at about maybe 15 yards at the most. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So people get, that's why you get guys that don't do well in the 40. You look at AB down at Pittsburgh. He didn't run a fast 40, but he running past people on the football field.
Amazing. It's true. It's so true.
That's why you get guys that don't run a great 40 time that can have long careers and Hall of Fame careers because they know how they can get in and out. So it's all about how fast you can get to 5 to 10 yards, you know, and get the top speed like that. So. Man, that kid Zion, man, is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's ridiculous. Axe, man, you're the greatest, brother. We love you, man.
All right, man.
Y'all
have a good one.
You too, baby.